Okay. Welcome, welcome, welcome to another fabulous episode of the Sephora Podcast with authors Dicey Brenner and
Chantal Renee.
Yay! Tonight we have a special guest on with us, Matt Michelli or Michelli?
We say Michelli because it sounds more Italian, but that's not proper Italian. In proper Italian, it would be Michelli, but then everybody goes, you're Irish, so we kind of moved away from that pronunciation. But yeah, so, you know what? Say it however you like. Michelli, Michelli. We kind of changed it over the years. My family has, so it's not a big deal.
Are you Italian?
Yeah.
Okay.
Don't hold it against me.
Oh, I love Italians. I was just in Italy for 2 weeks in October.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, I had a wonderful time right by myself.
Oh, boy. Boy, then I should have some questions for you.
You know, just
turn this around.
Yeah, I've got you tonight. So the three of us, we had a chance to meet in Dallas last year at the Texas AuthorCon.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a lot of fun, and I hear you guys, y'all will be back this year.
Yeah, so, are you going to be there?
Yeah, I'll be there. I was telling Chantel, I had the privilege of sharing the table with the great Ruth Ann Jaggi.
Yes.
So this year, she won't be making it. I'll have a table on my own this year, but yeah, she's a lot of fun. I watched that episode. Yeah, she's something else.
What was your favorite part of that episode?
She was super great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was your favorite part of that episode?
What were y'all talking about? It was, I believe y'all were getting into like sexual liberation. It was Women's Month. I don't know. I don't know if I have a favorite part of the episode, but I was listening at the beginning. I was like, oh boy. But yeah, she's a strong woman, and I kind of got from that interview that y'all are both very strong, very bold personalities also, which that's a good it's a good combination, the three of you.
But, I'm a delicate flower.
Oh boy.
That poisons you if you touch it.
Oh yeah, exactly.
So we have Matt on with us because he is a horror writer, and this is a sex and horror podcast, so we're going to have some sexy questions too, just because why not? But the horror part is interesting because you're a horror writer, and I noticed in your bio you specify fiction, so not horror, nonfiction. You're not talking about your personal horror experiences. This is being creative and coming off the dome. And is it like creature horror, scary? Like, what is your subgenre, I guess?
That's kind of the thing with me. My subgenre is there really isn't one. Like I have reviewers that have kind of read through my library, and they typically say something like, yeah, one review in particular, it's one of my favorite reviews. It starts out by going, things just keep getting weirder because they don't know what to expect from me. With my newest book, it's, you know, extreme splatterpunk. It's labeled as erotic horror, although it's not very romantic, you know, as far as the erotic part. It's kind of blunt and just very sexually descriptive with the content matter. But yeah, so I don't necessarily have a subgenre, just general horror. You know, it's funny you say, you know, it's fiction, but these ideas come from somewhere. You know what I mean? So it's over my environment, relationships over time is kind of where these ideas have come from. It's hard to say, but
I got a little bit into your new one. And I feel like that new book came from you watching too much Pornhub.
Well, I had to do a lot of research. To make this book work.
Do you have a VPN or are you using X videos now that they put the X on Pornhub?
Oh, yeah, that's it. I'm not getting all that, but but that law, that's you know, I can see the value in the law, but I can also see that, you know, it's a violation of privacy and people don't want to put their information, especially when you're watching something like that you're not super proud of anyway, you know what I mean? But who knows where to go. But yeah, old Pornhub can't be too happy, I guess.
You know, I've had a verified Pornhub account for years, so I don't care.
Yeah, so it didn't affect you one way or the other. So, yeah, who cares?
Well, I mean, I haven't logged in. I did see that. But, I mean, the whole internet, you can, you no matter where you turn, you can find some porn if you really want to. So.
Oh, yeah. I mean, with the and that's kind of what the book gets into. It's, you know, we kind of in our handhelds, our phones, it's they're like a dopamine button. And then when you add porn into that mix, it's like, I don't think we've evolved far enough to be able to handle that much dopamine and that much satiation of sex, and it kind of changes us. It alters our personalities and who we are. But there's value in porn, obviously, as well. But it can be dangerous too, you know. It's just so easily accessible.
Right.
I have a question, Matt. Are you in your 30s or 40s?
I'm 44. Shit, I had to think about it for a second. You know, you're getting old when you gotta like count back. You're like, where am I?
Well, not to be rude, but eventually you'll reach your dopamine levels. I'm 50 and my husband's almost 50. I'm just saying.
Oh, hey.
Enjoy it while you got it.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear it gets better. Does it? No? Man, I don't know.
Us.
I mean, it does. Oh, because you got to get the pill, right? You got to pop some stuff and you got to work extra hard.
Oh, come on. I'm a very virile person.
We did.
There you go.
All good.
His muscles.
Actually, 40s is.
Yeah, your muscles and veins. You're a runner? You run and lift weights?
No, I work out. I don't like running, but trying to lean down and stay more fit and healthy as I've gotten older. Watching the heart, my dad died of a heart attack a few years back, and you know, my brother's kind of overweight. I'm worried about him. My grandpa had a heart attack, and that's what ultimately got him. So, you know, it's just one of those things. I'm like, I'm gonna break that trend in the Michelli family and try to wear a size 34 if I can help it. And
you should a little bit longer, Chantel.
Yeah, my husband works out. I'm just saying. Anyway.
I used to be real bulky. Like, you know, I'm probably 50 pounds lighter than what I once was. But when I was really into the bodybuilding, so my body can't handle it anymore. I can't lift weights as, you know, intensely as I used to. It's just, hey, I mean, that was all in the early 2000s anyway. You know, you had the highlighted hair and a good tan and, you know, walking around all beady. You know? I don't think that's in as much anymore. Although I do still see the same fellas that I used to see back then. They're just, you know, have a lot less hair now.
Oh. Have you added any of that in any of your horror stories you've written?
Like just the fitness craze or anything? No, I had an article that I wrote years and years ago that I guess went viral for what viral was back then. There was no TikTok or Instagram or anything, but it was called GTL and Other Ways to Ruin Your Life. And it was about, you know, gym, tan, laundry, like Jersey Shore was in, I think, at that time. And it talked about, you know, steroid use and then getting skin cancer from tanning and, you know, having problems having children. So it kind of got deep. It was a nonfiction, just slightly embellished. And that thing took off. You know, way back when, but no, nothing in my fiction about that. I'm sure to come into play at some point, but mm-hmm. not yet.
Yeah, sometimes the stuff we do a lot in our lives will leak through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's, you know, when people ask like, where do the ideas come from, or have you written about that? It's like, you don't really have control over the ideas; they just pop into your brain, and then you take notes and roll with it, or you don't. But yeah, we'll see. Now you got me thinking. Try to work on something.
I noticed you also were owner and operator at Simply Clean Carpets. That's your business? Yeah,
that's my business. So very glamorous carpet cleaning business. Sole proprietor. So it's just me. I don't have any employees or anything. Which that's a real crapshoot, man. Like I, you know, coming from the corporate world, hiring and firing and training and all that stuff out in the field, and there are only two, maybe three people I would consider hiring to go under my company. And of course, they all have fantastic jobs because they're great employees. But, you know, out of hundreds of people, if I can only think of two or three, that's pretty bad. but yeah, it's, you know, I'm not rich by any means, but it does give me the time to write and, of course, spend time with family. So, you know, I had one of my former employees, I don't know how we got on the topic, but she was talking about, you know, getting paid for doing what you love. And I told her, you know, I was like, if you can't get paid for doing what you love, then get paid for doing something that allows you the time to do what you love.
Good point. Yeah.
And she was like, I never really thought about that. So
yeah,
that's kind of where I'm at now. You know, I don't miss any soccer games or with my little girl or.
That's fantastic.
You know, I'd like to drop that business by all, you know, if I could. I don't love it, you know.
You're preaching to the choir.
Yeah. It's that, you know, they get paid to write full time. I was like, yeah, that'd be awesome. I still wouldn't consider writing a job because then I wouldn't want to do it anymore. But, you know, that's what do they call it? A pipe dream, right? The dream that will never come true.
Yes. Hey, you never know.
Yeah, I hear if we're consistent, then at some point.
Sooner or later, you know. No, I know a couple of folks in the indie horror world who had recently, Duncan Ralston, for example, he wrote, Womb, you know, years ago. And he goes, it just, like at Texas AuthorCon where I met him in person, he goes, that book just recently took off. And he's like, now my books are, you know, flying. So that gives us, you know, indie horror writers hope that it could happen. But again, you know, I'm a big believer in write because you love it, you know, not for the money. If you get paid, awesome. You know, those little royalty checks that pop in here and there, it's like, oh, cool. You know,
yeah.
If you treat it as a job, then it becomes a job and nobody wants a job, you know, or at least I don't. But.
Right.
Well, the only other thing I have to say is, I definitely feel sorry for your wife when you finish writing those scenes. I was like, this is written by a very horny man.
It doesn't start out that way, but once you start writing the scene, you know, it kind of moves in that direction. And why would you feel sorry for my wife? You should be happy for her.
Well, I mean, you know, because at some point she's got to be like, can I please rest?
that's what I always tell her. You know, I'm like, we'll call that a compromise. You know, if we're not doing it twice a day, anything less is a compromise for me. You know, so we find that balance.
Do you read a lot of erotic horror erotic horror from a male point of view? Do you read from women's point of views to try to get the flow of what's usually out there? Like, or do you have any inspirations in that regard?
No, honestly, no. You know, I've read a few more extreme books and they've got some sexual content. But honestly, I just, you know, when it gets into the sexual scenes, oh, cute kid. I just try to write, you know, I try to describe the scene and what's happening. I'm not really trying to put any type of spin on it or anything. Or like I said, it's not romanticized whatsoever. But it all depends on how the character is going to view it. I haven't read any real erotic horror. Yeah, again, mine is labeled erotic horror on Amazon, and I guess in a way it is, but yeah, nothing with the guy with the shirt off on the cover and that stuff, you know.
Yeah, I always recommend The Claiming of Sleepy Beauty. It was actually an Anne Rice project under a different name, and it was quite, like, oh my, probably one of the most erotic book series I've ever read. The Claiming of Sleeping Beauty.
Okay. I've read it. I've read, it's a trilogy, I think, and I have all of those.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
And it gets a little naughty.
Yeah. There's some BDSM if you're into that. Are you?
There's some everything in that.
Yeah, I just worry. I hope she was awake for the parts that that'd be kind of, you know.
Well.
Well.
So are you looking forward to Dallas? What do you got? You got this. Tell everybody the name of your book, first of all.
Oh, and I don't want to fuck it up. Pornageddon. It's the hottest thing since sliced bread. Yeah, I'm really excited. I'll be promoting that book as well as the others, and have a little bit of merch and all that good stuff. But more than that, it was just awesome meeting, you know, like-minded folks. Met you guys out there, met a lot of really cool people, and just when we own that hotel and that bar area, it's really neat. I don't want to spend as much as I did last time, and I also left my card at the bar and couldn't find it and all this stuff. And I was like, I think it was when I bought everybody Jameson shots or something. It was like, oh no. Oh my God. So I'm not going to be doing that this year.
So credit card stays in the room.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
I totally spent everything I made.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's more you go out there and network, meet people, have fun, and you sell a few books, get the word out there. You can only account for what you sold that day, but you don't know what sold beyond that or that word of mouth stuff. So, you know, there's incremental sales popping in here that we don't know where they came from. They probably came from there. But yeah, I'm really excited. I felt like the folks there, that was my people, you know. It was just a good time. A lot of nice, generous, good people. So
you're also doing Tennessee's Book and Readers Con September. Mm-hmm. Is this your first time there, or is this the first time that one has been put on?
Yeah, so it's Megan Stockton, and it's her first. Yeah, it's her first one. I love Tennessee. My wife and daughter love Tennessee, so mm-hmm. we're gonna road trip it out there. We're gonna go stop through Arkansas. My daughter's got about an 8-hour window when it comes to riding in the car. So we have to make the trips an 8-hour trip, and then we'll stay the night. We'll go another 8 hours, or she just starts bouncing in that back seat and yelling and going, you know, singing, whatever. You know, she's 10. So
I thought about going to that one, but then I couldn't figure out the logistics of getting my books there and transportation and all that.
We're road tripping flying out would be a mess. But yeah, we're gonna treat it like a road trip, vacation. So we did an Arkansas Tennessee vacation a few years ago, so this would kind of be a repeat of that, and then I'll go do the book fest for a couple of days, and should be really cool. I'm excited for that one. So we'll meet a lot of folks that aren't able to get down here, like Ronald Kelly is going to be there, and some other folks that I've, you know, gotten to know throughout this little writing venture. But yeah, those are the main two. I'll be at KillerCon in Austin, but I won't be there as a guest. I gotta buy a ticket, you know.
Tell you what, there's a big difference. I have done both. I've been, you know, like one of the vendors, and I've gone as an attendee. This will probably be the last time you want to go to something as an attendee. It is just worlds different. And you feel like an outsider when you should be.
Oh, yeah.
And it just does not feel right.
But, you know, so a lot of the folks from TAC will be at that one. And that's straight up Splatterpunk Awards and stuff. And now the people that are a part of it, that's a different group than just your general horror folks.
Okay.
But again, super nice and stuff. But yeah, it's a different crowd for sure. And the fans of Extreme and Splatterpunk are different crowd also. And I mean that in a different, a good way. But yeah, it's an interesting mix of folks there. But yeah, you know, I'm trying to do the ones that are close by. Who knows? Maybe next year, Pornageddon will be up for one of the KillerCon Awards. Because it's considered Splatterpunk. So we'll see. Hopefully.
I hope so.
And then they'll invite me. I get to go, you know, without buying a ticket.
Right.
That'd be nice.
What made you want to get into splatterpunk, and was it something you always wanted to do, or?
No. No, I had an idea for a book, and I kind of pitched it to PC3 at Dallas at the AuthorCon, and it was the idea for Porn Again, kind of a half-assed idea, though I didn't really have it all, you know. When I start to write something, I kind of have an idea what's going to happen, but then it all kind of just happens. I don't really outline or any of that, which is more exciting because you don't even know what you're going to write. You know, it's like reading a book, which is really cool. But I pitched the idea to him, and he was like, man, I think you're onto something. That sounds like a really cool idea. And started working on it. I knocked out the entire manuscript. It's a shorter novel. It's around 53,000 words, I guess. But I think I knocked it out in about a month's time. Went back through it to edit it myself and then sent it to an editor. Reached out to a couple of publishers and said, here's my dilemma. I really like you guys, but I need to make sure it's out for this summer. So I have, you know, a new book to promote for the events. And ended up going with Evil Cookie Publishing, and he was quick to move. He's like, we can have this thing out in like 2 weeks. So he's like, you don't have to. So, which is really cool. Trap Jones over there, they're all extreme and splatterpunk, you know, gory stuff, wild stuff. So it was kind of cool. I just, you know, it'd be neat because I'm branching out. So I'll have a few new readers that, you know, might not have read my other stuff that's too tame, mm-hmm. you know. Yeah, get going in. No, I didn't set out to write any type of book. I just have an idea, and if it's a good one, I start to write it and go from there.
Going back to that discussion that we were having about dopamine and all that, do you think that we have to get more and more hardcore? Like you were just saying about your other stuff being too tame. Yeah, and I'm using air quotes for those who are just listening and not watching. But do you think that we end up having to go harder and harder? We got to start, you know, getting rougher and rougher. And I'm not trying to make this.
You got to go harder and harder.
Sure, Dicey. Sure.
What I'm trying to say
deeper
is.
You
find that tame everything, you know, tame is not really hitting anymore because of that dopamine, and we got to keep pushing more. I don't want to use the word hard and rough, but you know what I'm trying to say. Like, it has to be more hardcore. We have to go into more intense scenes. Everything has to be more outrageous and all that, so that people, you know, can enjoy it more.
That's a great question. And I've talked to other writers about this. Like, what happens when extreme becomes normal, right?
Right.
And then you have to push the boundaries, and you push it, and then eventually you kind of peak, and then everything's at that peak level. And then at that point, then you become desensitized to the mm-hmm. gore and the babies and the pedophilia or whatever
it costs. And then you write the prequel to Little House on the Prairie.
So yeah, I think there's a desensitization with extreme horror. But, you know, on the flip side, I think if you just write and you focus on the story and you write a good story, if there are shocking moments within that, but you're not focused on writing shock for shock value, in other words, if you're focused on the story, and the story happens to be shocking, I think you're in a good spot. You can kind of, you know, there's very talented writers in the extreme and splatterpunk. Beautiful prose, just very strong writing. But then, you know, there's some that aren't. You know, there's some that are just, I'm just going to put the absolute worst thing I can think of, and I'm just going to keep going there and there and there. But you can kind of see through that. And I don't think those have staying power. Again, with everybody kind of ramping up to where we're here at the top. Like, where do you go from, you know, babies and blenders and, you know, with children and cannibalism? I mean, at some point it's like, you can't go really farther than that, you know? So at that point, only the strong writing and the strong stories will survive. But yeah, it's funny, even, you know, mine that's super sexually explicit. I mean, it starts out fast and it's very descriptive. Again, it's not very romanticized whatsoever, but it's very sexualized. I've had some reviewers be like, you know, it's not that extreme, or it's not that, this one's kind of tame. And I'm like, wow, you know, like, but, you know, it, to each his own. But yeah, I think that's, again, that's a great question. Cause yeah, at some point, like where does it go from there? You know?
Yeah.
Or does it just lose it? Does it just fizzle out? And you don't want to see it go away because we've already peaked and we've already hit that threshold.
I mean, I think you're hitting it on the head. Like, it is going to be about the storyteller at a certain point. You know, readers, they get to where they're just consuming, and then they hit a story that doesn't just consume them, but they are in it, and they cannot, they're not just consuming it, it's consuming them, is what I'm trying to say.
Sure. Yeah.
And absolutely. I think that as writers, that's, you know, good writers, not saying anybody's a bad writer. Okay, I shouldn't say good writers then. I should say exceptional writers. If you're aiming to be an exceptional writer, you want to create something that literally captivates your reader and doesn't let them go till the end.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, strong character development, you know, good dialogue, solid writing, you know, get away from the amateurish stuff. Limit the mistakes, you know, in indie publishing at all, you know, there's going to be a few more mistakes than there would be in a mainstream publisher, but there's mistakes in mainstream publishing too, you know, but, if you can just have a polished product and a solid story, you're going to have a better chance at being successful. But yeah, who knows? I don't know. You know, there's a lot of discussion regarding extreme and splatterpunk and, you know, where does it go from here? And I guess we'll just have to find out. I mean, I can't think of anything worse than what's already on the pages, you know, anything more extreme. But who knows? Who knows? Like I said, you know, if you're a good writer, you've got a good story, then that will last. That's got longevity rather than just, again, shock for shock value, which that's just, you know, lazy and people can see through it.
Well, it's up to the reader.
Yeah, absolutely.
What they like.
Yeah, and you know, that's what's really cool about writing too, is, you know, it's art. So, mm-hmm. I mean, everybody that picks up any of my books, they're all going to have a different perception. Mm-hmm. You know, some may absolutely love it. Some may just say it wasn't for me, and that's okay. That's the way it works. Not every book's for me either, you know.
Right. Who's your ideal reader?
Well, it's tough because all of my books are so damn different. My ideal reader is any reader, I guess. Anyone that will buy the book and spend the time reading it, I'd be happy to have them. But yeah, you know, some of my stuff's a little transgressive. Some's more general horror. Like my last book, 2 Minutes with the Devil, was more in a Stephen King vein, more general. It was a 1986 coming of age story. So I got compared to King. Although Pornageddon is getting compared to King too, because it's getting compared to The Stand, because it's, you know, battle of good and evil when it comes down to everything. But and I take those compliments, you know. I'm like, yeah, you're gonna compare me to I don't know if y'all are horror buffs, but Stephen King's very popular. He's a very famous writer.
I've heard of him, I think.
It's got a bright future. Yeah.
What do you want to be known for then? You know, I know horror in the general sense, but what do you want the readers to take from it? Depending, you know, if all of your books are different, how many do you have out?
Let's see. I've got the novel. I've got 3 novellas. Here, let's see. So I've got, and I'll show them real quick. So Scratched.
Yeah. Okay, Scratched.
Kind of a satirical Chupacabra, Real Housewives type book. The White, that was my first.
Okay. And that's the one that was with D&T Publishing.
D&T, yeah, that's one of them with D&T. And that one is just real intense and kind of fat, super short. So it's like a novelette. And then I've got A Halloween Story and A Halloween Story 2, which I self-pub these every Halloween. It's a like a three stories in one. Just for fun. And then 2 Minutes with the Devil, D&T Publishing.
Okay.
That's my
title, 2 Minutes with the Devil.
What's that?
I love that title, 2 Minutes
with the Devil. Oh, thanks. And then, yeah, Pornageddon is through Evil Cookie Publishing. So what I've heard from readers and reviewers, again, every book is way different, but then they always go back to the characters, the dialogue, and I've had they've used the term sweet writing, too. Like, there's something sweet about the writing, so I've kind of heard those terms. And I think they all kind of carry that. So once you're used to reading me, I think you'd be like, okay, yeah, this is Matt Michelli. It's something, the subject matter is completely different and his style is different, but these foundational things are still there. So, yeah, you know, dialogue and characters are real important to me. Nothing worse than reading a book and then just you're reading the dialogue and you're like, they wouldn't say that or that wouldn't happen that way, you know. So I try to, you know, make sure my characters are moving while they're talking, and it's a very, you know, give and take thing. And something I've been praised on is folks will say, they're like, it's like I was standing in the room watching them talk. I was part of that conversation. So that, to me, that's like, you know, so being known for that would be cool. But yeah, I don't know, I'm rambling. Did that answer the question? Maybe.
Yeah. You can be known as somebody that writes great stories and great.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
He's a writer. Feel like you're in the room with the characters.
There you go. Yeah, I'll take that. Also really handsome, charming.
Well, you know, I noticed your tattoos also.
I got a couple, yeah.
Yeah, so anything horror related?
No, not really horror related. I do want to get some more because of with all the artwork and stuff for my books, I kind of want to, you know, get some of that stuff on me too. I was going to say I've got an actual gun and then song lyrics that say to love is to feel pain. But yeah, nothing that would be the closest thing related to horror, but
excuse me.
That sounded like to love is pain. Is what did you say?
To love is to feel pain, because you know eventually you will feel pain from that love somehow or another.
Yep.
You know.
That sounds like, you know, that's great song lyrics too. So what are you listening to while you're writing or when you're getting yourself in the right headspace or the mood?
So people laugh at me. I'm like, I just set up a Spotify account today so I could find some of the episodes. I was talking to Chantel about it. I'll find y'all on YouTube or somewhere else. But so I did Spotify today. So I don't use Spotify, right? So I use Pandora. I don't know if y'all heard use it. So that came out like 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And I've got a few stations. I've got Time Cop 1983, which is like this 80s digital synthwave stuff. It's a little more upbeat. Then I've got two different bands. One's called Explosions in the Sky. The other is called This Will Destroy You. All instrumental, no lyrics or anything. You know, one's upbeat, one's kind of mid, one's a little sadder, a little more depressing. So depending on what scene I'm writing, I treat it like background music, like a soundtrack. And that kind of helps me get into that mindset of that scene and kind of go from there. But yeah, those are my three go-tos when I'm writing.
Nice. This Will Destroy You. I heard that because that resonates. And what?
And Explosions in the Sky. Uh-huh. And those two are pretty similar, but This Will Destroy You. There's going to be some darker, you know, sadder stuff in there. And Time Cop 1983. That's just digital synthwave. You know, the digital drums, you know, that cool, you know, I'm a kid. Mighty Vice. That's it.
Mighty Vice.
That's it. Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm hearing the song right now. You just brought it up in my head. It's awesome.
Yeah, it sounded like drums, like what Chantel plays when she gets on her drums.
That's it.
Not that good.
You play
I got my daughter electronic drum set because you can wear her headphones. I was like, I'm not going to get her a real drum set, you know. But they're starting to think I bought that for me and not her.
Yeah. I got one for my son. Now that I think about it, I forgot. I haven't heard it in so long. So I need to remind him to play that thing. So, Matt, something really, really important I want to know.
Oh, boy.
What did you do for the solar eclipse?
Oh, damn. Well, let's see. I worked that morning. Then I got a quick power nap.
Okay.
I woke up, made an espresso. My wife and daughter were outside, and then I walked outside with them. They had the glasses, and we were going to watch this thing. And it was just all cloud cover, so I couldn't see it at all. But it did get dark, which was cool.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed like it got, you know, very slowly it got dark. And then once it got dark, it got bright real fast. Did I don't know if you noticed. I think it was kind of weird. But yeah, so we didn't see any of it, you know. My daughter was pissed. She's like, this sucks. What do these clouds have to be here? And I'm like, hey, you know, clouds always ruin the day. But yeah, nothing too exciting. They were talking about it was going to be a madhouse down here. We're going to have hundreds of thousands of people. And it was like a ghost town. I think everybody saw the weather, canceled the hotel reservations. And then we kept our daughter home from school, too. Like, I think a lot of people did that. Nearby school district shut down. They were like, all kids would be home that day. Yeah, it was a lot of hoopla for a cloudy day. And
a lot of nothing.
No damn eclipse. Did y'all get to see it up there?
Well,
I
was driving at the time. I had a deposition in Katy, so I was going that way, and I didn't see anything but clouds, but I was listening to a YouTube video, and it just stopped for no reason at 1:45, and so I knew then that the eclipse was happening at 1:45.
Oh, everything stopped.
It just stopped. I was listening to the... I mean, I would be watching it because it's YouTube, but I'm just listening to it because I got to watch where I'm going while I'm driving.
Yeah.
But it stopped. And I was like, the eclipse must be happening. And then I just hit play again and it started again. And, but my kids, both of them, they had permission slips with their schools because they were going to get these special glasses and they were all going to go outside. So I was very happy to know that somehow, some way, they were able to see it. My daughter got a really terrible video of it. I was really mad. Like, you had one job. Just record. Hold the camera. Hold the camera still and record it. She did show me a little bit. I did get a chance to see a little bit of it. But you know, the camera, she was so excited, and the camera was kind of moving around. I was like, oh, my God.
She's probably looking for those glasses, too.
Yeah.
I mean, can't, you know.
Yeah. But I tell you. But I have seen some fantastic videos on TikTok. One, this guy was in the plane. He was some young guy was in the airplane at the time, and they were flying by. So he was able to get while he was flying. That was absolutely amazing. Wow. And then I saw another one where this couple had their wedding. They wanted to make sure that they were getting married during the time of the eclipse. And so the whole wedding party, everybody at the wedding had the glasses on as the eclipse was happening. And they were viewing it. And they said their wedding vows and everything during that time. It was a beautiful video. And I was like, oh, that is so amazing. It's going to be terrible years from now when they divorce. But it's not beautiful today. I'm sorry. That's just my dark humor. But anyway... It was a beautiful wedding day, you know.
I'm just thinking, like, I just picture the bride be like, why aren't y'all looking at me? Don't stop looking at that stupid eclipse.
They were all had the video, the glasses on as they watched. Did it have any significance for you? Did you do any special rituals or anything?
No. I'm a skeptic at heart, so like when it comes to all that kind of don't get me wrong. I'm not going to say I know what's real and not, because there's a lot of shit that can't be explained out there. But no, I wasn't really. I was, you know, just doing my own thing. I don't have enough time to do what I want to do, much less get all crazy about an eclipse. I don't have that, you know, time. Like, shit, I'm running around trying to get things done. trying
okay,
to find
so that's right. The last time you tell that story. From now on, you tell people I was fucking, and I had the most mega explosive fucking orgasm I've ever experienced. I saw the sun pass before the
moon. Oh, man.
You know, just make it stupid.
And we do tantric sex, so the orgasm lasted for the entire eclipse.
Right, you edged up until the time that the eclipse was supposed to happen, and then you did a countdown like Ron Jeremy, 10, 9, oh, 8, man. And then blast off. Right. Yeah. Thank you, Chantel. That's a much better story.
I want to think about Ron Jeremy when I'm doing sex.
He was one of the few that had that special skill to be able to time it.
Oh, yeah. Well, they're pros, you know?
Yeah.
They're for a reason.
Yeah. Which, have you seen the show Super Sex with Rocco Siffredi, you being Italian and him being Italian?
Is it the documentary or is it an actual show?
I've seen the documentary before. This one is a show, the new show, Super Sex. It's like
no, I haven't.
6 or 7 episodes, I think, or 6, 8, maybe, something like that.
I might check it out. It all fascinates me. But it's hard with the 10-year-old little girl too, because she's like attached to our hip. She wants to be around us all the time. She's with us until she goes to bed, and usually by the time she's falling asleep, we're falling asleep. So we try to get free time during the day and stuff. She's at school and whatnot, but it's hard to watch anything like that. You know, obviously you can't just tell her, hey, close your eyes. You know, some shows you can do, but not that.
Yeah, for sure. You want closing the eyes won't help.
No, yeah, closing ears too.
Well, maybe the next time you're taking a drive or something.
No, that's not safe, is it? I start getting distracted.
Well, probably not.
There's a part in this book, and I'm not trying to spam everybody. I'm sorry. There's a very important part in the book. About porn and driving. It's kind of a kind of changes the book from that point on. Catalyst, I guess, for a lot of the big things that happened. But
did you test it out, you know, for logistics purposes? Do you know how to write it? No, I'm dead serious.
Did I test it out? I mean, we've all been guilty of getting on our phones in the car, right? I try not to. But I just thought if you took it a step farther,
mm-hmm.
and then, cause you think you're looking down at your screen for a second. It's like 5, 10 seconds like that. It's just a time suck.
Yeah.
Well,
it depends if it takes you that long.
Well, yeah. Well,
one of the things about the show that she was talking about, Super Sex, I definitely, like, at first, you know, you see this guy and he's like fucking everyone and you're just like, oh my God, this is crazy. But then, like, after a while, it's just like background noise.
Oh, because you're desensitized to it. Yeah, basically. Yeah.
I mean, it was quick.
Yeah, there's a. I mentioned all that stuff in this book too. There's an Uber Eats delivery driver that shows up to the porn shoot, and he doesn't even fucking take a second glance at what's happening over here, you know, mm-hmm. with the fluffers and everything. First chapter is called The Fluffer, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I don't know if you're familiar with that term, but
you gotta get it right.
My listeners, I'm sure they'd love to hear it.
Well, they get male performers ready for the scene, and they get them into a perfect window. You don't want to have them overworked, too excited. You want them relaxed and ready to go, if you know what I mean. The Uber driver, the Uber Eats driver, shows up with the food and just walks right past the shit. It's like he's seen it every day. It's in California is where the book takes place, where a lot of that stuff, happens with the film companies and stuff out there. But But it's like, yeah, they see it all day. You know, porn shoots are one of their major customers. You know, it's no big deal. They see every size of cock and doing everything they can imagine. But yeah, you get desensitized just like against extreme horror, sex or anything. That's why everything's better in moderation.
Yeah.
When you get a chance, you need to listen to our anniversary episode with Ginger Lynn, because she'll definitely say some things you hadn't heard of before. Oh, man.
Yeah, there's, you know, there's, you could find anything on the internet, you know what I mean? Like, there's fetishes for everything. There's people that are into everything, and it's like, what is, you know, when I started coming up with the idea for the book, it was, there's nothing more powerful than sex. There really isn't. And sex comes in all shapes and sizes, but there's nothing more powerful than sex. And then I was thinking, well, there's nothing with more reach than pornography. You know, pornography is by far the largest videos watched and downloads out of anything on the internet. It's not even a, it's not even a contest. Cat videos are like way down here. Like porn's way up here. Yeah. So yeah, that's kind of where that concept came from. You know, there's a lot of everything for everyone out there. Yeah, just be careful what you search for and get in trouble.
What's your favorite scene in this book?
Man, that's a tough question. I don't know. I really like, you know, you get a good taste of all the characters. I really like how it wraps up toward the end. And how it all kind of comes together and comes to a close. You know, some of the fan favorites that I didn't expect, one of the characters, Benny or Benjamin, has been getting a lot of love from just people that reach out to me. They're like, man, I really liked him. And when you're reading it, he's kind of detestable. But once that humanity kind of comes in, you know, as the pages go on, it's kind of the anti-hero. You're kind of pulling for him. But yeah, and without, yeah, you know, I'm trying not to give a whole lot away. But yeah, I was very happy with the ending, especially because when I start writing a book, I have no idea where the hell it's going or how it's going to end. So it's like when that light bulb goes off and it's like, oh man, okay, I have the ending now. And that usually happens like 3 or 4 in the morning. I'm asleep, dead asleep. And then I wake up and I'm like, oh shit, yeah. I got to write this note down and get out of bed, you know? There's the most misopportune times that ideas come. You're like in the middle of a shower or,
yep,
you know.
In that while.
Yeah, yeah. But, yeah, I was very happy with how it came out. It's longer than my other books, too. So around 52,000 words. Like, again, my other one, I think, 2 Minutes with the Devil is the second longest, and it's probably like 28,000. So it's a novella. But did I see fellas and ladies, you know, 100,000 words? I'm like, holy shit, man, that's a big book.
Book needs to be edited some more.
Yeah. Edit the hell out
I
of this.
Not. No. If I hit 75, I'm like, oh my god, you're so wordy with this book. Like,
yeah.
They need to kill some more darlings.
That's it.
Darlings.
People, you know. Being a horror writer, people are always like, what's your favorite Stephen King book? And I always tell them I've never finished one of his novels. Not one, because they're too damn long. But Night Shift, that the short story collection, which pretty much every story's been made into a movie,
yeah,
is absolutely fantastic. Yeah, I love his short stories. I mean, he's a great writer, obviously. He's come a long way, you know. He's made it.
I'm right there with you. I never understood how to be able to write a complete novel of horror. Like I could do shorts all day, novellas all day, but then I did it. So it's like, oh, okay. Part of it is the characters. Like you really have to lean into your characters when you write horror.
So Chantel, what's the longest book you've written?
Oh, I haven't done anything over 75. I'm allergic.
Okay, but yeah, so 75. And see, that for me, like, when I read, too, I look at pages. So like 75,000 words I can do. But when it gets, you know, 100,000 plus, that's a harder sell for me. Which isn't necessarily a good thing. I think our attention spans are lessening.
I'm good with the average stuff. I think Dicey likes it a little over average.
Yeah. Oh God.
I was wondering when y'all were gonna get it.
Yeah. Took a few seconds. Yeah.
In terms of books, I like I've written anything
books.
I've enjoyed novellettes, novels, but I mean when it depends on the genre when it comes along. So if we're talking epic fantasy, then I'm a
world building.
Yeah, if it's I've read like a 500 or like a really huge
Stop it. that's not that huge. Well,
y'all gotta watch this episode.
Good grief.
I've read really huge epic fantasy. But not if it's like dark romance. I expect those to be around the 300 page range. Okay. Yeah. But I have read some epic fantasies that are 800, something like that. You know, like
that makes sense.
Yeah.
They're building like worlds and towns and villages and and it's a whole story.
Whole world.
What about
whole worlds? Yeah.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah.
What's been your biggest word count?
Huh?
What's like, that?
Your biggest word count.
Oh.
I see.
Oh, my word count? I'd say my largest might be around 84,000. Okay. But I think that's including like the front matter, the acknowledgments, like everything in there is like 84,000.
Plus two, shit.
Dicey does 30 pages of acknowledgments. So
or
makes that book thicker.
I'm trying to remember. Some of my dark romance is somewhere around 84,000, but I'm trying to think of which one is the largest. Like, Shameful might be the longest. I don't remember, but I know nothing has been over 100,000, because that means I needed to do more editing.
About 20,000 of it is story. The rest is sex. Just so y'all know.
Oh well.
No.
Can't go wrong.
Not true, but I will say that, you know, I try to make the sex scenes worthwhile. So if we are in this story, then by the time we get to the fucking, y'all are ready. You want it. So you don't want it to be like over like that. So if you don't build this up between these characters, and you know, the payout better be worth it. So the sex scenes are not a paragraph and then it's over. I'm gonna stretch that shit out. And it better be like that in real life too, or I don't want it.
In every way possible.
There are so many puns we could do here. Stretch that thing out. Oh my God.
Watch my words with you guys. Goodness.
Well, I think it's Chantel, because normally I'm not that perverted. Almost, maybe.
I'm so innocent.
Really?
Mr. Pornageddon? I'm not that perverted. No, wait a minute.
But yeah, the buildup counts, and that's, you know, in some of my books, like the scenes, like either the violence or the death scenes are a little more limited, but I really want those to count. Because again, it goes back to that desensitization thing where if every chapter is somebody getting hacked up, that's not, you know, it's not going to do anything. But if you get to know that character and you're kind of following them and falling for them, whatnot, and then you come up to an impactful scene that it hits you, you know. So it's very important. So that's cool. Yeah, you don't want to flood everything. Like, you want the sex in there and you want it to count. But it's going to count if there's some work up to it. You got any scenes where just can't perform or anything?
Almost to the end here. So do you have anything else, Miss Dicey?
I have some of that also. I was about to ask something and I got thrown off. Oh, what's your hardest scene to write? Okay, I asked you which one was your favorite. Which one was the hardest to write? And it doesn't have to be just your most recent book. It doesn't have to be in any of them.
So there's a particular character in 2 Minutes with the Devil. This one, that book is loosely based on my childhood environment, including the people in the book. Never mind. It's all coincidental. Okay. Legally coincidental. But
yeah.
But they're all based on people I grew up next to. Even the dog in the book is the dog that was down the street from us, and my buddy owned that dog. So that one, getting attached to those characters, and not to mention that, but they're also like 12 years old. You know what I mean? So children kind of have a, I don't know, they get to me a little more now that I'm a father. But yeah, there's a scene in 2 Minutes with the Devil that really, you know, shakes me up when I read it and when I talk about it, because it's just so real to me. Even the new one, though, I was saying I like the ending of the book and I like how it kind of ties together. There's a couple of moments at the end too that get me. You know, if I can reread my stuff and I get, you know, goosebumps or get teary eyed, I'm doing something right, at least, you know, write what you want to read, kind of thing. So but yeah, again, it goes back to just the emotional investment in the characters. So if the characters are developed and you like those characters, then if something happens to them, you know, it affects you, and it should. It affects the reader, and it should. You know, it's great when, I don't want to say it's great. I don't want this to come out the wrong way, but it's great when reviewers and readers say, you know, that book made me cry.
Yeah. We want to destroy you.
Good. Yeah. Good. Great.
Wants to give you pain.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm like, well, I hope it made you laugh and smile too, right? Some parts, right? Yeah. But yeah.
This has been a fun discussion. Let everybody know where they can find you. I'm sorry, Chantel, was there anything else you wanted to say?
I'm good. I think I fucked with everyone enough.
Never enough, Chantel. We'll find time at the TAC. I did want to say, Chantel, that green screen you had behind you with that blue wall and that artwork is killer.
Yeah. before the camera started rolling.
That is wicked, man. You got a Ouija board right on the damn wall? Jesus, woman.
Chantel,
a coyote head or a fox head?
Chantel did my skull over here, too. That's one of hers.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, that's right. You did a show recently. Mm-hmm. That's so cool, man. Right on. Okay.
And I have. Right.
You're an artist. You get a pass.
Posters up here, all over the room, actually. But and speaking of which, what's that behind you? It's a really nice atmosphere. At dark.
Yeah. So I live in the suburbs. Mm-hmm. So we don't have many trees unless we plant them. So I love mountains and trees. So I wanted to get, I was thinking about wallpapering this entire wall in my office, but that shit's expensive. Pretty horror writer.
Get you some crayons.
Oh my God, yeah.
Draw that shit on there.
Yeah.
Give your daughter some black and gray and white crayons and let her go to work.
You know, there's some green in there too. It's hard to tell with the lighting, but yeah, no, I just, you know, I love forest and all that stuff. I hope my dream is to someday live in a house, be surrounded in pine trees or firs with mountains somewhere, and just look out the window and write. You know, that would be the dream. Watch little ground squirrels and stuff.
Wonderful.
I hate snow, so that's my problem. I can't do the mountains and the trees. You know, I can do it during the summer, but I'm not about that snow life.
Hey, Texas has mountains. You just got to go further west.
Oh, yeah, but that's like desert. That's, you know, that's miserable.
You can't have it both, man.
I know. Well, you know, you try, right? Like Arkansas is cool, Tennessee's cool. There's places in Colorado. Yeah, I just got to figure out a way to have a home there in the summer, and, you know, come back to Texas during the winter. One of them snowbird people.
Well, I hope you sell out at Texas Author Con this year and the Tennessee Con. Can you let everybody know where they can find your book? So hopefully someone listening and watching can go grab some, and where they can find you on social media.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you go to www.mattmicheli.com, MATTMICHELI.com, that'll have books with links to buy. That'll have my social media stuff, so you can kind of follow me from every on every platform from there. Books available at, obviously, Amazon. Pornageddon is on Kindle Unlimited. So if you've got it, download it and read it. It's a wild ride. It's a lot of fun. Chantel will finish it eventually. I know her max is around 75,000 words. It's only like 50, so no excuses, Chantel. Yeah, book people, bookshop, you know, any places books are found. But yeah, Kindle Unlimited and Amazon. Break the algorithms, you know, buy it on Amazon. I don't want to say support the Zon, but the more books you sell, the more books you sell. It's just kind of how it works. And the more reviews help. But yeah, please follow me, connect. You can even email me from my website. I'd love to connect. Holla at me.
Awesome. Thank you so much for being on with us.
Yeah.
Michelli.
Love the bone man. That's awesome. Or lady. I don't know what it is. Can't tell. Awesome. Thank y'all. Thank y'all so much. It was a pleasure. And yeah, I look forward to having sharing a drink. Well, not sharing, but having one. Yeah. Texas Author. I don't know where y'all been.
Right?
Y'all know where I've been here. So yeah. No, right. Thank y'all very
we're
much.
So bored. We're so bored. Thank you so much.
Yeah, we had to be in the bed. I don't even know how long y'all stayed out because I had to go to sleep.
Oh boy, I don't remember getting back. I don't know.
If here I'm bringing my guitar, I'm gonna be just playing somewhere, and y'all be over there.
Oh, there you go.
I'm gonna go find something.
Oh hell yeah.
I'm gonna go find something to watch on Netflix while she's out there playing. I'm going back to the room and going to sleep.
Do it.
All right. Well, good night, and thank you again.
Right. Good night. Thank you all again. All right, bye.
Night, everyone.